Dear visitor, welcome to the former convent of San Rocco. This guide was created by the Jonathan Livingston Association ODV with the patronage of the municipality of Carini, thanks to the funds of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan of the Ministry of Culture included in Mission 1, Digitization, Innovation, Competitiveness, Culture, and Tourism, and Component 3, Tourism and Culture 4.0. We are honored that you have chosen to visit this church. We will accompany you inside and tell you its story. Choose your language and enjoy this exceptional experience. Welcome. The floor before you is more than 1,600 years old, and it has reached this place through a story worthy of a novel, one of chance discoveries, rescues, noble palaces, forgotten crates, and homecomings. It is late 1873, in the district of St. Nicola, about 1 kilometer from the town of Carini. On the estate of Miss Ferranti, some gardeners are digging holes to plant citrus trees when, just a few handspans below the surface, 3 palms, the first report will note, the pickaxe strikes something hard and colored. The owner reckons some 30 square meters of many-colored little stones. And this is only the beginning, for the floor will prove to be nearly 5 times larger. Word reaches Giuseppe Despuches, Prince of Galati, poet, Greek scholar, president of the Academy of Sciences, Letters, and Arts of Palermo. The prince buys the floor to prevent it, these are his own words, from being destroyed by the gardener's pickaxe. He has it lifted, has drawings made of it by Mr. Carlo Lovecchio, and already in the summer of 1874, he presents it to the scholarly world. He then reassembles it in the great hall of his palace in Palermo. Ever since, this tessellated pavement has borne his name, the Despuches Mosaic, or the Galati Mosaic. But before we approach its stones, let us pause for a moment. Why was so sumptuous a floor located precisely here, in the middle of the countryside? To understand, we must widen our gaze, in space and in time. The plain of Carini has an ancient name, Hikara. Indeed, there were 2 places that bore that same name. The first Hikara, the archaic one, was an indigenous settlement perched on Monte d'Oro above Montelepre, at the back of the plain. Thucydides records it because in 415 before Christ, during the great Athenian expedition to Sicily, the fleet of Athens stormed it and sold its inhabitants into slavery. To that terrible day, ancient tradition ties a name destined to become legend. Among the captives, so Plutarch and Pausanias tell us, was a little girl. Her name was Lais. Sold in the markets and brought to Corinth, she would grow up to become the most celebrated, most beautiful, and most contested courtesan of the Greek world, courted by philosophers and princes, sung of for centuries. Whether true or embellished by legend, the story of Lais of Hikara tells us one certain thing. The name of this plain echoed across the whole Mediterranean. Centuries later, that name had come down to the valley. Here, in the district of St. Nicola, along the most important road of northern Sicily. That road was the Via Valeria, the consular highway that ran from Messina to Lilybaeum, modern Marsala, along the Tyrrhenian coast, on a course largely followed today by State Road 113. The Itinerarium Antonini, the empire's official road book, records precisely here a statio, a way station of the cursus publicus, Hikara, 16 miles from Palermo. Around the station grew a well-organized village, a vicus, served also by the sea. At Baglio di Carini, on the coast, research has identified its landing place. And the 4th century, the century of our mosaic, was a golden age for this land. After the founding of Constantinople in 330, Egypt took over the supply of grain to the new capital, and Sicily, together with Africa, once again became the granary of Rome. The countryside filled with lordly villas, at once residences and command centers of the great estates. From their storehouses, the grain went down towards the Valeria and the ports of Panormus and Thermae. It is the world of Piazza Armerina and, on a smaller scale, the world of this hall. There is, finally, one last chapter that makes St. Nicola a special place. Between the 4th and 7th centuries, the Christian community of this village dug, a little further north, the catacombs of Villa Grazia di Carini, the most extensive underground cemetery complex of western Sicily. And at the end of the 6th century, the letters of Pope Gregory the Great reveal that Carini was the seat of a bishop, an exceedingly rare rural diocese, one of only two known on the island. Life here did not fade with Rome. It continued under the Byzantines and under the Arabs. The geographers Al-Muqaddasi and Al-Idrisi speak of it as a fertile land rich in waters, down to the Normans, when the settlement moved up around the new castle, where Carini still stands today. Keep this landscape in mind. A consular road, grain, a Christian community, 1,000 years of continuity. Now we can begin to walk. Make your way to the start of the route. Stop at the beginning of the route. The excavations resumed in 1997 have made clear that this floor covered the most prestigious room of the village, a great apsed hall, nearly 13 meters by 11, as the prince himself measured, from the first half of the 4th century after Christ. I shall accompany you along its whole perimeter. Walk slowly, for every meter is an archive of signs. Look at the band at your feet, a procession of octagons that interlace and touch, tracing elongated hexagons around small squares. The 19th century drawing documents 2 complete rows of them. What you see is the part that has come down to us because, as we shall discover at the end, this floor has traveled a great deal, and in its removals, it left something behind along the way. The motif is cataloged in the international repertories of ancient mosaic. Observe the small squares at the center of the octagons. They alternate, with almost musical regularity, stylized 4-petaled flowers and Solomon's knots that interlace without beginning or end, which in the ancient world was a sign of protection and eternity, beloved of villa floors and, later, of churches alike. This band was not the center of the hall. It was a side aisle, a space of passage. Prince Despuches, who described it in 1878 before the Academy of Palermo, judged it of grand but somewhat careless workmanship. A more cursory hand compared with the virtuosity you are about to encounter. Keep this detail in mind. It tells us that the floor was not born all at once, but grew in phases, as houses do when they are lived in for a long time. Now move on slowly, keeping your gaze on the great central field that opens beside you. Here it is, the heart of the hall. A field 6 meters 60 to a side. Before we enter into the details, let your eye embrace it whole. The border, first of all, an undulating ribbon running all around on a dark ground, like a petrified surf. And within, the field, 3 rows of 8-pointed stars, 9 in all, each formed of 2 superimposed and rotated squares drawn in braids that knot into one another, bringing out a surprising 3-dimensionality. Between the points, oblique lozenges. It is a composition of African origin. Born in the workshops of North Africa, it crossed the Mediterranean and enjoyed its greatest fortune between the 3rd and 4th centuries. The scheme of this hall finds its closest relatives at Piazza Armerina in the Villa del Casale, where it recurs even in a service room, a sign that the same pattern books were in circulation, and beyond Sicily, as far as the House of the Cascade at Utica on the Tunisian coast. We are inside one and the same artistic koine, in all likelihood, itinerant craftsmen of African training. Every star encloses an octagon, and every octagon a surprise. At the exact center of the carpet, a flower with 8 tapering petals, executed, take note, in tesserae of glass paste, a precious material, colored glass that must have caught fire in the light of the oil lamps. At the 4 corners, rosettes within laurel garlands tied with ribbons. In the other octagons, undulating ribbons and lotus flowers enclose the outlines of ornamental crosses, among them the hooked cross, the Gamadion, an age-old dynamic and solar sign which the ancient geometric repertoire used with the same innocence as waves and braids. One thing Despuch has noticed, and the studies have confirmed it, the tesserae are cut from the stones of the local fields and streams, set beside polychrome glass pastes. This most refined of mosaics is made, quite literally, of carini. Keep walking, and look now at the four panels that interrupt the geometry. In the four squares between the stars, the mosaicist opened four windows onto nature. In each, a pair of birds, facing one another on either side of a vase on a tall foot, among sprays of foliage. Despuches listed them with a poet's relish: purple ducks, cerulean doves, parrots, and hoopoes. Look at them one by one, wherever the state of preservation allows. The doves set beside a flowering plant, the hoopoes with ears of wheat, the parrots among vine shoots, the ducks by a plant with flowers and fruit. Flowers, wheat, vintage, fruit. Since 1977, scholars have read in them a possible allegory of the four seasons, the cycle of the farming year that flowed, identical, in the fields outside this hall. And note a detail of ancient stagecraft. These four panels are oriented in pairs, designed for those entering and those leaving the room, while the geometric stars can be read from any direction. And here the mosaic hands us its most fascinating enigma: birds and vases, doves and vine shoots. It is a repertoire we shall meet again in the Christian basilicas. For this reason, for a century, people spoke of the Basilica Mosaic of Carini. But the very same images decorate, in the very same decades, the reception halls of the great villas. They are the shared language of an age of transition, the 4th century, when symbols migrated from the dwellings of the powerful to the buildings of the new faith without changing their design, only their meaning. Villa or church? Keep the question in your pocket. We shall return to it at the end. One last detail before moving on. In the hand spans of earth that covered the floor, the first excavators found many clay vessels in fragments. Most similar, wrote Despuches, to those that are seen painted upon it. Real life and its image, buried together.
You are now on the side towards which the whole hall was oriented. Here, the composition reached its climax. You will be helped by the reproduction of the great 19th century plate drawn by Carlo Lovecchio at the moment of discovery. It is the document that shows us the floor as it was, in its entirety. A band separated the hall from the apse, and it is the most elegant passage of the whole complex. Two peacocks facing one another, in profile, on either side of a refined golden cantharos, a fountain vase, from which acanthus scrolls and flowering branches overflow on a light ground. Look, if the band is legible, at the birds' heads and necks. The mosaicist rendered them with blue glass pastes interspersed with shaded tesserae, whose brilliance changes with the light. The peacock, in antiquity, was an emblem of immortality and rebirth. It was observed that in autumn it loses its feathers, and that in spring they grow back more beautiful than before. On either side of that cup, which pagans read as a Dionysiac vessel of abundance, and Christians as the fountain of life, the peacocks stood as symbolic guardians of the most secluded place in the building. Beyond the threshold opened the apse, decorated with adjacent scales drawn by interlinked polychrome cords, each scale inhabited by a little flower on a stem, like an endless fan, or the spread plumage of those very peacocks. It is a motif that in the 4th century runs across the whole Mediterranean, and that we find again, almost identical, in the apsed rooms of the owner's apartments of the Villa del Casale. But the apse, reduced almost to ruin, already at the moment of discovery, was not carried off to Palermo. It remained in the earth of San Nicola. Of it, there survives a fragment a few dozen centimeters across, kept for decades in the storerooms of the Salinas Museum in Palermo, and today, at last reunited with the rest of the floor. A fragment with its mesh of red, green, and yellow scales. Look at it with the gratitude owed to relics that preserve the memory of the whole. Now turn your back to the apse and walk down along the last side. The panel you are walking along is perhaps the most curious in conception, a lattice of intersecting bands with squares and rectangles at the nodes and shaped crosses in the panels. It is not an abstract invention. It is the translation into a floor of a coffered ceiling, the stucco coffers that covered Roman reception halls. The mosaicist turned the architecture upside down. He spread the ceiling of the room beneath the feet of those who crossed it. The same scheme decorates room 37 of the Villa del Casale. Here, too, the 19th century drawing documents more than we see. Three rows of panels, where today two remain, another trace of the cuts suffered in the Palermo reassembly. And here, too, Despuches saw a different hand. Of more minute design and still more neglected execution, he noted, surmising that the great square was enlarged in later centuries. This floor was used, repaired, extended for generations. Its irregularities are its biography. Before I leave you, you must hear the final chapter, the journey these stones made in order to return here. For this floor, after surviving 16 centuries underground, came close to being lost in the 20th century. For over 100 years, the mosaic remained in the Great Hall of Palazzo Galati, in Via Ruggero VII in Palermo, admired by travelers and scholars. Then, in 1975, an heir of the prince put the palace up for sale, and the wing where the mosaic lay was bought by an illustrious man, Renato Guttuso, the great painter from Bagheria, then at the height of his international fame. But the mosaic was not included in the sale. At the express wish of the artist's wife, it was excluded from the transaction, dismantled, and shut away in crates in a storeroom of the same building. Popular rumor has it that Donna Mimise considered the peacocks ill-omened. But this, let it be clear, is newspaper legend, not history. The fact remains that upstairs, the Guttusos received artists and poets, while the peacocks kept their vigil, unseen, in the dark. Difficult years followed. The protection order placed by the superintendency, then, in 1981, an ill-advised sale to a thermal baths company that intended to install it in a hotel complex at Sciacca, a 4th-century masterpiece reduced to a lobby floor. It was public guardianship that saved it. In 1989, the superintendency blocked the transfer, and in 1999, after a long procedure, thanks also to the intervention of the Archaeo Club of Carini and its representatives, the mosaic entered the state property of the Sicilian region. In 2004 came the Great Restoration, and in 2007, the pavement was once more on public view, displayed in Palermo in the Oratory of San Filippo Neri, the jewel annexed to the Church of Sant'Ignazio all'Olivella, a few hundred meters from the palace where it had slept for 30 years. But Carini had not forgotten. The town council, in agreement with the superintendency, obtained delivery of the crates in 2015. 71 sections of mosaic in 36 crates, plus 13 loose fragments, and designed a definitive home for its treasure. The steel and glass pavilion in the 17th century cloister of the former convent of St. Rocco, where the mosaic sections have been recomposed one by one. And the story continues still. At the beginning of 2026, the fragment of the apse, too, kept for decades in the storerooms of the Salinas Museum, was reunited with the rest of the floor. After a century and a half of exile, the mosaic of Hikara has come home, stone by stone, to its own land. There remains open, and I leave it to you as a gift, the question I placed in your pocket. Despuches and the great scholars of the 19th century, among them Monsignor Vincenzo Di Giovanni, who witnessed the discovery in person, saw in this hall a small Christian basilica. A century later, in 1977, the archaeologist Rosalia Camerata Scovazzo proposed to recognize in it the apsed reception room of a 4th-century residence, on the model of Piazza Armerina, and it must be said that no excavation has ever found here altars, columns, or masonry partitions. Later studies have reopened the file in both directions, without closing it, and those who excavate at San Nicola today prudently suspend judgment, awaiting new evidence. In the meantime, this floor remains what it has always been, the most sumptuous page of ancient Carini. You have walked the whole of it. Now, before you go, allow yourself one last look at the whole. 9 stars, 4 seasons, 2 peacocks. 1600 years, and a long journey that ended well. Dear visitor, thank you for visiting this place. We invite you to continue your journey and discover the historic sites of the city of Carini.